This is Football Free Agency Edition. Denny Carter from NBC Roto World joins me to go through the first 24 hours of free agency, and before that, trades, signings, releases. Really enjoyed this. Ladies and gentlemen, Denny Carter. All right, Denny Carter is here. He is the co-host of the Roto World Fantasy Football Podcast. You asked me, Denny, yesterday, and the only one of the persons ever asked me, they say, is this video or is it audio only? What exactly were you planning to do if there was no video?
I have to know, Kevin, whether I need to look pretty for the podcast. And that means shaving. That means doing my hair. Okay. Like, yeah, I see like you're in a hoodie and a hat, right?
And a hat.
And yeah. and that was what I was going with if it were just audio. But my vanity drives me, Kevin. So I must look nice for the camera.
I'm good with that. Normally, I remember Tom Pelissero being like, I'm working out just beforehand, and I need to know whether or not to, like, towel off. And I always thought that was an interesting way to go. You know, like, do I do a five-minute buffer, or can I just wear my Adidas tracksuit?
Right. If I'm drenched in sweat, like Rocky after
is that okay?
Like, is that fine with you?
Yeah. This was during COVID, so he was probably out running and is working from home and, like, we were going to come in and talk about how good Mac Jones was.
Okay.
We're probably going to come in and just do 30 minutes on how amazing Mac Jones was, if I remember.
Which ended up to be absolutely correct in every way.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, so we're going to do free agency, and we're at the point, we're recording this at 10 a.m. on March 12th, Tuesday, second day. We're at the point where this guy's signing that I didn't know were free agents, like Cleveland Farrell.
That was one. Apparently, a first rounder in 2019. This is what I learned this morning from my feed. And yeah, so I actually had to blurb that one for NBC, and I'm like,
oh no!
Like, oh yes. I definitely know who this guy is. Let me look him up in the database and see.
So I obviously knew who he was because for a couple of reasons. Number one, high draft pick. Number two, follow college football, and that was the era when Mike Mayock and John Gruden were they watched one game per year, and it was a national championship game.
Yeah.
And they would be like, "We like this guy. We saw a couple guys flash on Clemson, a couple guys on Alabama. We're all good. We're gonna get back to, in Gruden's case, inappropriate emails. We're just gonna get back to that.
Yes.
We've solved everything, and then we can go from there." But I also, the other thing about Farrell, he's a double whammy because there's two groups of anonymous free agents. One is I didn't know he was a free agent. The other is I didn't know what team he had switched to.
No idea.
Farrell is both. I had no idea he was a free agent. I had no idea he played for the Niners last year.
Had three and a half sacks, Kevin. Three and a half sacks.
Marcus, I had someone had to jog my memory that Marcus Davenport played for the Vikings last year. First round picks doing their like prove it year and not proving it is an incredible genre.
It is. No, and this Farrell guy had 28 tackles, three and a half sacks. Like, I could tell you a lot about him. I have five tabs right now open on this Farrell guy. He instantly becomes the Commander's best player, by the way.
Best player of the last 20 years. Yeah. All right, we're going to go through the free agency, gives some superlatives, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
I want to start here. Now there's a couple, this team thing is really interesting to me. We're going to do team that we think helped itself the most. What's interesting to me, Denny, is how many people, I saw this with the Raiders yesterday. I'm going to get to them a little bit later, where people are now viewing these plans as, like, if you have a plan, it's your every move is good. If you don't have a plan, every move is bad. And so, like, yesterday when the Raiders signed Christian Wilkins, everybody was like, well, what's their plan at quarterback? And it's like, well, they don't have, like, they're going to have one later in the afternoon, which they did.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have a short-term one and a long-term one. But they're also just trying to become a better team. You don't just sit there and just be like, well, we don't have a quarterback, so we're going to tank. We're going to do a major league and just tank and lose a historic number of games. Yeah. So it was a very weird process. So I'll put it to you because there's a lot of degrees here. What is your team that helped itself the most yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's hard not to say the Falcons because, you know, Kirk Cousins. So I'll just go with the easy one, the low hanging fruit. Look, this team, as we know, it has the infrastructure to be really good offensively. Like, they've invested a lot of draft capital in really good offensive players. They just never had anything close to a viable quarterback. And I really do like looked at the metrics. I've looked at it all, Kevin, and I believe that Desmond Ridder is not a starting caliber quarterback. So I mean, this is I said this yesterday on Instagram or one of the, I was on so many social media channels. I can't even remember.
You flooded the zone.
Yeah. Yes. Flooding the zone. The people need their content. And I said that it's hard to exaggerate the kind of upgrade that the Falcons get with, mm-hmm. with Cousins, with a healthy Cousins. I know people say, oh, he's done because the Achilles. I don't buy that. I push back on that a little bit. But if he's back and if he's healthy at the start of the season, this is a massive upgrade, and it instantly like unlocks guys who have been obviously disappointing from fantasy perspective, disappointing from a real perspective. It unlocks all those guys, including obviously Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I'm super excited. I think the Falcons, contender. I don't know. I mean, definitely top four in the NFC.
NFC South favorite.
Oh yeah, sure, definitely. I mean, by a
I also like that division is so crappy. I came out and said that yesterday, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. And it's like, well, it is your division. It's your immediate goal. But the division is so crappy that everyone dismisses that as a worthy like superlative. Everyone's just like, oh, okay, oh, you're gonna win your division. You're gonna get a home playoff game.
Oh, big
deal.
That's
cute, buddy.
Yeah, right. I mean, if they win 10 games, they'll win the division by four. So it'll be fine.
They'll clinch on September 30th.
Right. And the Falcons have locked up a bye. Or locked up the two seed.
No, I all respect to the Bucks, who obviously played out of their mind last year. No respect to the Saints.
No,
we're doing all respect to the Bucks. No respect to the Saints or the Panthers, neither of whom will be winning the game this year.
The Saints, a team that has no plan. No, it never has a plan.
No plan.
They just kind of walk into a season and say, we're going to win seven games no matter what.
Well, also the fact that they have no plan and yet they actually win probably more games than they should shows you that planning is for losers.
Yeah, right. They don't need to tear it down.
They have not lost less. The last time they had a less than six win season was 2005.
Mm.
And it was a 3-win season. It was the last year of Jim Haslett. And they hired Sean Payton the next year.
That's right.
So like Dennis Allen won 9 games last year.
That's actually unbelievable.
And they have no idea what they're doing.
I don't take pleasure in reporting this. Derek Carr was not bad last year.
I don't know about that.
I know from a real fantasy, from a real perspective, maybe not, but from a statistical perspective, he was fine.
One thing I do think is funny is that James Winston overruled the head coach in week 17. Yeah, and I thought there'd be a ton of fallout from the breakdown in leadership and, breakdown and everything, right? And then just no one has talked about it. Like everyone was like, this is funny. They've asked Jameis about it, but like no one has been like, is this not bad for Dennis Allen that Jameis Winston had a week 17 fourth quarter mutiny and then we just kind of moved on and dropped it?
It seemed like a big deal at the time, but Dennis Allen was like, what can you do?
Sometimes
there are mutinies on the field. Sometimes it happens. It happens to everyone. It happened to Belichick many times. We all remember that. No one remembers that.
No, it didn't happen? Okay, good. All right, so I'm in a total agreement with you about the Falcons. They're going to win the NFC South.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how good, and Kirk Cousins has been branded as kind of a Twitter joke. I don't think there's a bigger discrepancy in how coaches feel versus how the internet feels on a guy than Kirk Cousins. He throws in rhythm. I think he's the best. I saw Next Gen Stat that he's literally the best in rhythm thrower in football.
Really?
Which seems incredibly fake. What they mean by that is throws between 2.5 and 4 seconds. Again, vaguely fake. Seems vaguely fake, but I'm going to buy it for my argument.
Oh yeah.
And then I think he threw more 10 plus yard touchdowns than anybody last year at the time of his injury. And so he does the throws coaches want you to make. And I think that a lot of times people are like, well, is that enough for $40 million? Is that enough for $90 million in the first 2 years? Yes, it is. Watch a football game. Watch what Desmond Ridder couldn't do.
Right.
And by the way, I think Desmond Ridder was an upgrade on Marcus Mariota last year. It was just that there's only like 18 guys in the world who can make the throws you're supposed to make in order to...
That's generous, honestly. That's a generous number.
To execute an NFL playbook. And everybody else, you end up... And like, look at... Like, Zach Wilson can't throw the ball forward past the line of scrimmage, and he was the second overall pick. And so, like, yes, you have to pay a premium for guys who throw the ball in a way that you're supposed to throw the ball.
I have a stat that I've been touting everywhere, and I'm not going to stop now, Kevin.
TikTok?
Kirk Cousins averaged 10 more catchable passes last year than Desmond Ridder per game. Sorry, 10 more per game. That's the key, per game. That's a lot.
10 more per game. So we spread those around.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts gets a couple. Drake London gets a couple. Maybe Bijan out of the backfield. Yeah. Vaguely sounds like a real-ish NFL team.
It sounds like a team. It sounds like a team that needed a point guard, and they got one. You know, and Cousins will distribute the ball to guys who make plays. We saw that in Minnesota over and over and over again. Are the Falcons a real Super Bowl team? I don't think so. No way. Are they going to be fun as hell? I think so.
My only thing on that, I know this sounds stupid. Arthur Smith would have cooked with Kirk Cousins, but on the other hand, he was so weird about everything over the past 2 years that I almost don't, he didn't deserve the opportunity.
Who, Arthur Smith?
Arthur Smith,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just so, I think Arthur Smith was the literal, like, he, you know these guys who get yelled at on Twitter and then they just change their entire personality because they don't want to.
Just hurt feelings.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, their entire worldview changes because they're trying to own some random guy they remember on the Twitter.
Absolutely.
I feel like that was Arthur Smith with the fantasy football community, where he was just like, oh, you want me to use Kyle Pitts? What are you, stupid?
Right. Why would I do that? In fact, I'm going to use him even less now. And you're gonna suffer the most. Not my team, not my NFL team.
All right, I'm gonna do mine. This is kind of a take because I want to do the Raiders a little bit later. I don't hate what the Commanders are doing. I know we're joking about Cleveland Farrell, but I don't think you wait. And we saw this last year with the Texans, where I don't necessarily think you wait to see what you have with your top pick, and then be like, all right, we're going to be an NFL team now. We'll hit next free agency.
Right.
They go out and they seem to be doing, like, let's get real NFL players a bunch of different positions, so that way when we have Drake May or Jaden Daniels, we can start to the process of having a legitimate team. Like, Justin Fields was playing with insurance adjusters his first year. And I think that kind of hurt him, that build. Like, geography is destiny in football. And the more legitimacy you have at every position, the better. And so going out and getting two interior linemen, starters, getting Frankie Luvo, who, like, all of his stats about pass coverage are, like, absolutely elite.
Yeah.
Getting Austin Eckler, which is whether or not that was, like, a great bang for your buck is separate, but, like, having credibility in the backfield. Zach Ertz on a one-year deal. I just kind of feel like whoever is the second pick is going to be stepping into a better situation because they're spending this money. And I don't listen. Like, maybe this whole thing is going to end up really bad because Josh Harris is just going to be Daniel Snyder with different branding. But on the other hand, like, I just feel like this is something that the old Snyder regime wouldn't do, which is just kind of a smart, solid, sensical build before we get the quarterback piece in.
That seems un-Snyder-like, for sure. No huge splashes so far. I mean, yeah, the Josh Harris thing, like, sitting in on meetings and whatnot, that was a little concerning as far as, like, a meddling owner goes, but apparently he just wanted to observe. So whatever. I've been yelled at by many Commanders fans for pointing that out. So, but yeah, I agree. It's actually un-Commanders like, but so far I don't hate it.
Yeah. I like my thing on free agency is, like, Breer had that stat yesterday, 7 of the top 11 highest paid guys from 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, 2022, no longer on a team.
Wow.
Their team. Mm. And of the four who stay with the team, two of them had to take pay cuts, one being Von Miller.
Yeah.
So it's almost like spending $80 million in free agency historically been very bad, unless it's, like, an absolute stud. And, like, even, like, when Ndamukong Suh reaches free agency, it doesn't really work out. Like, it's more about augmenting. Now, I've flipped on free agency. I used to think that, like, I remember, like, the Packers had, like, one year they had, like, two guys who weren't drafted in their building, and it was Julius Peppers and Charles Woodson. And, like, that was one way. But, like, now you have to augment your draft. Like, drafting is not enough. That's what Jerry Jones is doing. That's why they top out in the divisional round every year. You have to augment it with talent, but it's more of like the guys making $6 million a year who are just plugging holes and answering questions than it is, hey, we're gonna spend $90 million on this guy. Big swings in free agency tend to not work.
Yes, that does seem to be the trend. And the Jaguars could learn a lesson from that. They seem to break the bank every other year in free agency and doesn't do much for them.
I legitimately don't know. We can, we're going to switch to a team that didn't help themselves the most. What do you got?
Well, the team that lost the most, you mean?
No, just, yeah, a team yesterday that disappointed you in any way.
I think, you know, as far as a team that got dinged on the first day of the most legal tampering we've ever seen.
Tampering was so legal. It seemed even more legal than normal.
Tremendously legal. The most legal it's ever been or ever will be, I think. The Dolphins lost a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? They lost Christian Wilkins to the Raiders. They lost, I know this is kind of funny, a fantasy guy talking about Andrew Van Ginkle to the Vikings, but Van Ginkle was like a key part of that defense down the stretch in Miami. And then, of course, the big one is losing Robert Hunt to Carolina. He signs a huge deal with the Panthers. The thing about losing Robert Hunt is that it might make it more difficult to give Tua the absolutely perfect environment he requires to succeed. And I wrote about this on the NBC Sports site 2 weeks ago, if folks want to check it out, is that no quarterback faced less pressure last year than Tua. And anytime he did face pressure, he collapsed. He was very, very bad against pressure. And that goes back before Mike McDaniel. Okay, so losing your best offensive lineman, your best pass blocker, I think could have significant downward effects on this offense, including Tua, who I guess they're going to commit to sooner or later.
It's a double whammy. You're going to give Tua a lot of money. You're going to have him in a situation that is not, as you said, not perfect. He's going to be under more pressure.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I don't think people understood how open the window was for the Dolphins last year and it wasn't their fault. They start to lose defenders on defenders to injury. By the time Jalen Phillips went down, they had legitimate pass rush depth in like late November. And then everybody starts going down. And then I looked at and they had no chance to win a playoff game. None.
No.
And I think that it would have been a completely different scenario if they were fully healthy. And a lot of that's luck. But I don't feel like people understand that this may have just been a 1 year blip in time where the roster was really good. Now, Mike McDaniel is an awesome coach.
He is.
He's maximized Tua. They're always going to call plays that go to accentuate what he does well. But there's a big difference between making Tua a good quarterback and being better than like the Joe Philbin years and actually competing in the AFC. I don't see how you bridge that gap.
Oh, nice callback on Philbin. I had forgotten about that.
I've never forgotten. I've never forgotten.
You never can. I think that Tua is very sensitive to environment. I'm trying to be as nice as possible here. And I would say every time Robert Hunt was possibly going to miss a game last year, Dolphins Twitter went berserk. You know, well, what are we going to do? Robert Hunt's out. Well, now you lost him. He's gone.
Yep.
And they were middling last year as a pass blocking unit. I don't know, man. I'm scared for Tua.
Everyone's like the Panthers overpaid. Maybe they did the thing that like Bill Simmons and I have been banging the drum on for years. It was just reading teams' message boards and being like, who do they not want to lose? Or who do they want to lose?
That's actually
like good, float that you're going to sign a guy and then check the Reddit and see if they're like, yes, thank God.
Now that's analytics. You know, that's forward looking front offices need to get into that.
If I was a college football like director of personnel, I would just be in everybody's college football group chat to see like, oh, this guy might hit the portal. And if we're all like my Miami chat, if we're all like, oh no, oh no. And then we're like taking out reverse mortgages to form their collective. So that would be a problem, right? We're not gonna have a reverse mortgage. I'm gonna keep my house. This guy can go to Georgia Tech, then everything's fine.
I don't exactly know what a reverse mortgage is, but it sounds very scary.
It's not good. It's not good. Tom Selleck does commercials for it. That's all you need to know. All right. So I Dolphins are on my list too. A slightly, and I'm going to give them so much grace, slightly disappointed the Texans didn't do more on the first day of free agency just because of where they were, and I felt like they could have plugged some holes. Cowboys were the only team yesterday, The Athletic just said this, to not sign a free agent or retain their own free agent.
Really?
They just didn't. They literally did not do a thing.
I was going to make a
only
joke.
Only team in the league.
Later today on the Roto World Football Show, I was going to make a joke that said 31 teams made transactions, one didn't. It was the Cowboys. But that's not a joke?
No. John Machado at The Athletic, the only team not to agree to a deal with one of their own free agents or from another team on the first day.
Incredible. Well, Jerry, he's being patient, Kevin. I'm sorry you can't appreciate Jerry's patience.
Work from home. They're working from home. Every other 31 teams came into the office because they don't care about their employees' well-being. More with Denny after this.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
The Cowboys just get the L from me. I'll throw the Dolphins and Texans in the mix, but the Cowboys, it's just do something. Just do something. Do a proof of life move.
Right. They should consider making one move. I mean, you know, it's just anybody. Bring in a good punter.
Sure. Competition. All right. Let's get to individual signing you like the most.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like there might be pushback on the internet about this, but I really like Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh because of the team friendly nature of the deal. I mean, you're talking about Russell Wilson playing on a 1 year contract at the very bare bones league minimum, $1.2 million. He's free. They sign Russell Wilson for free, and yes, it's for all the jokes. And all the, you know, let's ride, you know, Broncos country, let's ride, all that stuff over the past 2 years. If you can clear that out of your mind and focus on what the Steelers had last year and how much of an upgrade I think Russell Wilson is to that Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph situation, then it makes all the sense in the world. And an added bonus, I wrote about this yesterday, is that, you know, Arthur Smith is going to put Russell Wilson into the game manager kind of role. The kind of role in which he succeeded very much in Seattle over many years. Okay. And as we begged, especially as fantasy guys with fantasy and bio said, please, Pete Carroll, please let Russ cook. We let Russ cook and it was a disaster. Okay. And then the Broncos tried to let Russ cook and it was a disaster. Arthur Smith under no circumstances will let Russ cook. And I think that's a good thing. I think this signing makes all the sense.
Arthur Smith taking the same posture he took with using his good players in Atlanta with letting Russell Wilson do anything special is actually going to be very effective. Very effective. Just like weirdly defiant at the podium when people say like, hey, have you thought about letting Russell Wilson do something interesting? So excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Did you see what happened last time?
No. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? And this time it's a proof of concept. I totally agree. More passing touchdowns for Russell Wilson last year than the Steelers have had since Roethlisberger retired.
Really?
26 last year.
Man.
Yep. there are, again, it's a little bit like the Dolphins thing. Like, they upgraded on Kenny Pickett significantly, but that's still not enough to compete in the AFC. But you still, it's better to just not have Kenny Pickett. Like, and I also feel like the entire fan base was blinded by Kenny Pickett because he's a local guy. He showed some moxie. He was better in 2 minutes than he was the rest of the game, which is just a classic way to become overrated within a fan base. Oh, he just wins. He just is a winner. He doesn't throw touchdowns. I think he had the lowest touchdown rate like in the history of football.
It's actually shocking. Like, I was joking online during the season that every time a third string quarterback comes in, they instantly are better than Kenny Pickett. Like, it's like Easton Stick's first game, he posted numbers that would have been Kenny Pickett's best game ever.
He's just very indecisive. Like, I used to watch him at practice, and I guess I could still watch him at practice. But like, every time I go to practice, it's like, it just felt like he wasn't firing the ball a lot. He hesitated a lot. These guys, I've talked about them on this show before, these guys just hold on to the ball forever. I think because they're just not, this generation is not used to just getting slammed into the turf.
Yeah.
And so they're just back there just like patting the ball at the goal line. And it's like, Zoomers will never understand being just driven straight into some concrete AstroTurf and being bullied that way into throwing the ball in 1.8 seconds. So Kenny Pickett's back there patting the ball. And then you're going, all right, yeah. It was tough to watch. I did not see a lot of evidence that Kenny Pickett's going to turn this around.
I did want to point out Russ was third in completion rate over expected last year. Like, there are some metrics that point to him being okay, being just perfectly fine as a starting quarterback.
I completely agree. Like, the 14th best quarterback.
Sure.
Which is a lot better than Kenny Pickett.
Oh.
All right. My favorite, and I know this is chalk, but Christian Wilkins. Well, and I mentioned the big money signings the other day from how they didn't work 2 years ago. A lot of that was giving $80 million to guys who were worth $40 million. And you see the market, like, I think Greg Rosenthal made the point yesterday that the reason guards make so much money is because they actually reach free agency.
Yeah.
Because no one's franchising them. Like, everybody takes care of their tackles like in year, like the day they're extension eligible at the end of their third year. And quarterback, obviously nobody except Kirk Cousins ever reaches the open market, and he does it every 3 years. Maybe Dak will next year. But I think paying significant money for somebody you know is going to be awesome is probably a good idea, especially with the rising cap. So Christian Wilkins, the pressure numbers were great. He had more double team pressures, which means obviously pressures when double teamed, than the entire defensive tackle core of the Raiders did last year. I think he had 18 last year. He's a beast. That's a scientific term. He's the beast. He's a beast. He might be the beast. And so I think putting that on a D-line with Max Crosby, letting Tyree Wilson develop. What's the plan at quarterback? Well, the plan at quarterback is to have a defense good enough that it takes the pressure off the decision at quarterback. And I don't think those two things are at odds in any way. So I quite love the Christian Wilkins signing.
Yeah, I did notice at the end of the season that the Raiders had one of the lowest pressure rates in the league. And I was surprised, you know, because you think of Max Crosby constantly in quarterback's faces. If this defense can be a top half defense, which they were at the end of last year. I mean, they actually did kind of lock down opponents. We all remember the Christmas Day game against Kansas City. Then they don't have to ask much of their quarterback, who I believe is Gardner Minshew now.
So you like the Gardner Minshew signing?
I do. And, you know, I have a bunch of comparison stats between him and Aiden O'Connell. And instead of boring the folks with that, I'll just say this. It appears that Minshew's statistical profiles suggest that he will bring more variance to the Raiders offense. And yes, that sometimes will mean some like boneheaded picks in triple coverage when he's trying to force feed Davante Adams his 20th target of the game. But it also means, you know, long touchdowns, really impressive throws. He had some of those last year in Indianapolis. He's much more willing to go downfield than Aiden O'Connell is, according to PFF's stats from 2023. Aiden O'Connell was bottom three in almost every quarterback metric last year. I think he's a decent enough backup, but he is in no way a starter. I think Minshew brings that sort of variance, like I said, to a team that's going to need it. Like, in order to compete in the AFC at all for a postseason spot, they're going to have to get a little crazy on offense, and they're going to have to try to score points against these teams that are just, you know, bulldozing their way through the Raiders year in and year out. I think Minshew can do that. And Minshew targeted Michael Pittman last year on 29% of Michael Pittman's routes. Okay. The seventh highest rate in the league. Mm. I think that he will understand the assignment in Vegas, which is to never look away from Davante Adams and to
don't ever
force
feed. Don't ever 420 targets. You're right. How many times a guy throw in a season? Like probably like 400, right?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, yeah. All to Davante Adams.
And yeah, I mean every other drop back, he's going to throw it to Davante Adams, and that tends to really work out. You know, not being sarcastic, but you know, last year with especially with Josh McDaniel, it was like. Hey, we're gonna target Jacoby Myers like that. He's our number one receiver. No more of that. No more of that. The objective is clear. I think Minshew can do this. And Minshew's not great, but he's way better than Aiden O'Connell.
Your colleague Pat Doherty, we joke about this. Like, no more systems. Down with systems. Down with he's getting the ball because the system calls for it.
Oh,
don't do any of that stuff. Give the ball to the good players.
Yes. Yes, yeah, great. Pat is at the forefront of saying you don't need to outsmart yourself. You can just mm-hmm. throw and or hand the football to good players. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. And then let Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby do the work.
Right. Instead of all, you know, I mean, I guess like Shanahan is like a prime example of the system needing to work. Although he's compiles such talent that it really doesn't matter who gets the ball. Yeah. They just score all the time.
I have a long story. There was a time when, I don't know why I'm going to tell the story, but RG3, when he was first a broadcaster, I think he was terrific. He's calling the Florida State Miami game. And he was like, the Florida State had some cowardly punt late in the game. This was 3 years ago, had some cowardly punt. And RG3 was like, I love this because Florida State has a really good pass rusher in Jermaine Johnson. And I was like, that is one of the worst things I've ever heard. Like that you can punt the ball away for no reason, like fourth and two, because it's a good pass rusher. Okay. On the next series, that pass rusher, Jermaine Johnson, goes absolutely wild
really? And
forces a three and out. And I was like, well, there you go.
The system
works. RG3 on top of it.
Well, look, the whole idea that, you know, we're going to punt to win because we trust our defense. You know, come on, man. This isn't the 90s. Let's stop.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. RG3 was on top of it. Yeah. We love RG3.
Yeah,
first guest on this show, he and Eli Manning. All right. Quarterback Mark. Oh, wait. Worst signing. I'm just going to throw this out there. Tony Pollard?
That's what I have. I mean, what? Like, what? The Titans are so directionless. Rudderless. I mean, what? Like, you were talking about the Saints. The Titans might have the Saints as far as being completely without direction. Like, you have Tajay Spears, who, if folks don't know, is like was one of the most explosive, impressive backs in the league last year. Every time he got the ball, it was a potential big play. He's like Jamal Charles light. Okay, and they spend $24 million on Tony Pollard after his disastrous 2023. It makes no sense.
I think it's a really hard thing to be a team that has to fill like 15 holes. I think it's really hard because you're just like, what do I do here? How do I do this? You have free agency before the draft, which is hard. We see this with the Panthers too, where they spent, I think, like $80 million on two interior linemen. Like, I think it would be very hard. Like, I know this sounds, and again, I don't like the Pollard signing at all. This sounds very like 1995 CBS pregame show, but like, you try it, buddy. You try to fill 15 holes on your talentless roster and not make insane decisions. But I would rather the guard thing, at least with the Panthers, to me makes more sense because the entire point is to keep Bryce Young upright and not have, like, did you see the clip? Oh, I don't remember the receiver. Did you see the clip of Bryce Young where he like kind of rolled out of the pocket, threw like a completely normal pass, and then the receiver who was like at the hash marks just caught it and then just like jumped out of bounds for an incompletion. Like it was as close to point shaving as you could get.
I think
it was, and it wasn't that, it was just incompetence.
It actually was the funniest play I saw all last year. It was Mingo. I think it was Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah.
Who flung
Thank
himself.
Thank you, Miles. It was, yeah, he texted it. It was Jonathan Mingo.
For no reason, Mingo flung himself out of bounds as the ball was coming to him. It was the opposite of trying to toe tap the sideline.
I actually just Twitter searched Young to Mingo just to see, and I saw a different play. Ian Harditz put it out. I was against the Saints, and Mingo just he's wide open and he puts no effort into catching the ball whatsoever.
I remember
the
that.
Ball is just like 3 yards in front of him. Could have easily hit him in stride. He pulls up for no reason and then just looks at the ball and drops right in front of him.
Mingo had some problems last year. There's no doubt that they could improve Bryce Young's receiving corps.
And guards, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the Panthers.
Are
I'm
you?
Going to North Carolina to play golf this weekend. I'm gonna
jealous.
Get a feel. I'm gonna get a feel of the Carolina Panthers and see what the fan base thinks.
are they still in? Because the stadium was rather empty last year.
I lived in North Florida during COVID, during the Pelissero years, during the Pelissero gym years. And I would talk to people with the Jaguars and realize that there's not anybody who cares.
Really?
Not anybody. Yeah. I just like, you'd meet people and you're like, what's up with the Jags? And they'd be like,
Gators.
Gators are 4-0.
Jags Twitter is the scariest Twitter in America. I mean, besides Dolphins Twitter, which is actually,
I have huge respect for the Jaguars Twitter. I have huge respect for them. I'm just saying, like, the rank and file person in Northern Florida is not necessarily locked in, which I think is a level up. I would assume the same for Carolina. I would assume this any team where you're just like kind of in the wilderness for a few years, like that happened with the Magic. Like I would whenever the Magic were bad. I mean, thank God they're the fourth best team in the East now. But like I go back to Orlando and I'd see like my high school buddies and I'd be like, "Hey, Tobias Harris looks pretty good," and they'd be like, "What?"
Well,
I'm like, oh,
this is weather related. If the weather's nice, you don't care about the teams. I mean,
that's right. Miami, except the Florida Panthers, who were America's sweethearts down there. All right, so we went through Tony Pollard. All right, quarterback market in general. It's 10:34. Justin Fields is still on the team. Chicago Bears. A little surprised. Sam Darnold signs with Minnesota. We already mentioned the Kirk Cousins thing. We already mentioned what the Raiders did. The places that still need quarterbacks. Washington, the top three in the draft, but then there's an argument to be made that maybe New England, if the price drops, drafts Marvin Harrison Jr. and takes a a Justin Fields type. Denver, who I think are in a pretty tricky situation, I'm curious about the plan there. Anything stood out about the quarterback market in day one?
I mean, I don't know where Fields goes at this point. That's the thing, is like, I thought the Raiders made a lot of sense, but then the Raiders gave $15 million guaranteed to Gardner Minshew. So that's over. Like they're not going after Fields. So I guess maybe Washington makes sense as a landing spot, but only if they like deal their first round pick. I would hope that like maybe the Giants are somewhat interested in bringing in someone to challenge Daniel Jones, to like make that offense like slightly better.
I think Justin Fields can do everything Daniel Jones allegedly does.
Oh, he's a better runner for sure. I mean, he's
no, of course. I'm just saying, like, he can whatever you think. I mean, Daniel Jones is bigger, I guess.
I see.
Like whatever you're saying, like Daniel Jones does well,
yeah.
Extending plays, toughness, whatever. Justin Fields can do that, and then he's got the plus running. Like you should want. I've been disappointed. You should want to coach Justin Fields because he does a handful of things really, really well.
Yeah.
And if you can't make that better, it's because you're a bad coach. And I know that there's we've seen limitations, and obviously, if he was a better quarterback, they wouldn't even be considering trading him. But I think there's a skill set there where I'd rather work with him than a Daniel Jones. I'd rather work with him than, frankly, a Gardner Minshew. I'm not going to overrate him. I think Bears Twitter is doing enough of that. But I also think that there's something there where Brian Daboll should want to work with that.
I agree. I will say that 2023 for Justin Fields was really, really not good for him as a passer. He regressed in a lot of key areas, including intermediate throws, 10 to 19 yards. His completion rate fell in that area. His yards per attempt fell in that area. So he didn't show the sort of leap or the sort of progress that you would have hoped, that he would have hoped, so that he could land a legit starting job for multiple years in another offense. or the Bears keep him. He didn't show that improvement. I'm pretty sure if I know that the NFL teams know that. So I could see Fields, I don't know, having to compete for a starting job somewhere.
I mean, I think that's
That's what it is.
1,000,000% what's going to happen. By
the
way,
the Bears are not getting the second rounder. There's no way.
They're getting like a fourth rounder.
Right.
And maybe. So a couple of things. I think, so Sam Darnold just got $10 million. Sam Darnold played 56 games, none of them particularly good. And then he went into the Shanahan tent.
Yes.
And came out and somebody was like, here's $10 million, even though we don't really have a sample size. My feeling on this is that Justin Fields, if there are no real pathways, if Sean Payton is like, I don't want anything to do with you, which is the last kind of, I guess you'd say, open starting job. If that's the case, he should go to a Kansas City, a San Francisco,
yeah,
a Philadelphia.
Rehab.
Get in the orbit.
Yeah.
Have your agent leak that he's learning a ton. Like, you know who the best example of this is? When Mitch Trubisky went to Buffalo, and all the stories, including from Buffalo, in Buffalo were like, boy, he has sped up his release. He's locked in. Ken Dorsey's been working with him. Look out at his next team.
Totally.
And then he got real money from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Played same exact guy.
Terrible.
Same exact guy. There was not one difference. No. Or not one thing in Buffalo.
He might have been worse in Pittsburgh than he was in Chicago. But I remember that. I mean, the rehabilitation tour is real. And it could do wonders for it. I'm with you. I know I like this idea, Kevin. I say go to Philadelphia, Justin Fields. Go to Philadelphia for 1 year. Sit behind Jalen Hurts. Maybe you get some playing time if Hurts gets dinged up. It'd be good.
My only thought on that is Philadelphia in particular might not want to do it because that situation has the chance to get very toxic very quickly. Mm. And then accidentally people are calling for you to start on October 5th. And nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody.
No.
If you're doing the rehabilitation tour, the point is to play as little as possible.
So Kansas City.
You got to keep that under wraps. The reason that Sam Darnold got $10 million is because he didn't play against the Ravens when people thought he was going
to
come in.
Wait a second. I have to push back on. I actually like Darnold a lot going to Minnesota. I think that he is a decent Cousins replacement. Do we remember the six games he started for Carolina in 2022? Do we remember that?
I do.
Okay. So
is this supposed to help?
Yes, it is. Yes, very much. Because over those 6 weeks, Sam Darnold led the league comfortably in completion rate over expected. He was top 10 in dropback EPA. Very, very efficient. Very good in that little stretch run. It's why I thought he was going to get a real shot to start in San Francisco. Obviously, that was never on the table. But I like him in Minnesota a lot.
Marcus Mariota signing with the Commanders. Really just putting them over the top, I would say. Success rate in Carolina. First of all, he also started 11 games in 2021, and
I don't want to talk
about
that.
Wasn't very good.
Yeah, no, he was horrible in 2021.
Yeah, I remember. So then you're just looking at the second year he started in Carolina in a six game sample size, where a success rate wasn't particularly much better.
Success rate was not fantastic. I do think that he can be sort of Cousins-ish. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Nick Mullins. Okay. Can we agree on that?
Sure. Sure. But I think skill set wise, I'd rather have Justin Fields doing one good thing and then you coach more into him and use the middle of the field more and all of that stuff than Sam Darnold. But I think
Kevin O'Connell is not interested at all in a mobile quarterback, in a dual threat.
Group. I agree with that.
I think he wants a guy who will drop back and do what he's told. And I think Darnold fits that bill.
That's all they want.
Yeah.
Shanahan guys, McVay guys, they just run the plays, man.
No interest. I mean,
they're like a director who's like, what are you doing? The words are on the script.
That's why Trey Lance made no sense in San Francisco. What was he going to do? Was he going to be a drop back passer? No, he was a mobile quarterback coming in. That was never going to work. Now, these Shanahan guys, no interest in dual threat quarterbacks.
So I'm a huge dumbass. And I don't really do the draft typically. I'm doing the draft more this year for a handful of reasons. But during the Trey Lance draft, I heard a couple people, you know how like one word gets started in draft Twitter and then just it explodes through the entire ecosystem. So someone was like, a couple people were like, I don't know who started it. They were like, well, Lance isn't a scheme fit. He's a scheme expansion. And I was like, oh, I love that phrase. Hell yeah. We're going to take the Shanahan offense. We're going to expand it.
I remember
that. And then what I learned very quickly was that the Shanahan offense doesn't want a scheme expansion.
It does not.
They like the scheme. They like the scheme and the system.
Don't try it.
They're happy.
Don't dare don't expand. Try to expand it. Don't mess it up. It's perfect.
What are you doing? That's not in the scheme.
You don't run. You don't run for 15 yards on second and 12. Don't do that.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. Any most surprising, like jaw dropping tweet you saw that were during this period? It could be a trade, could be free agency, could just be a release, whatever it was. Is there anything that jumped out of you? Because so many of the moves, like David Bakhtiari being released, is like whatever. We also had that coming. And also the people with the Jets, like, well, pencil in David Bakhtiari to play for the Jets next year. Well, he's been hurt for years.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play very much, so that would be bad.
Didn't he refuse to play after Rodgers busted his Achilles? And he was
there's a little bit of smoke on that. Yeah.
Like he was like, in solidarity with Rodgers, I'm not gonna play this season.
I think it was I understand. I don't know how much he's trusted his body since he got really hurt. He's played in 13 games since 2020.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as a tweet or a post on the X platform that really shocked me, I think the Josh Jacobs signing was like came out of nowhere, and I was like, wait, what? Like, and then you know, because I was like, oh, him and Aaron Jones in the backfield, that's weird. Obviously, they later released Aaron Jones, but wow, that came out of nowhere. And I don't know what the deal is here. I think they're overpaying, and they're probably getting a worse running back than Aaron Jones. I'm not exactly sure.
I'll say that the Saquon thing was whatever. We all expected this. The Giants didn't make him an offer. And then the one thing that surprised me was Tiki saying, you're dead to me, to Saquon. You know who didn't care about Saquon's Giants legacy? The New York Giants. Because they didn't make him a contract offer.
No.
This is not like him being like, I'm out of here. Screw you. I'm going to stick it to you. It was more like, I need a job, and you guys are not offering me to continue with this job. So I'm going to go down I-95 for 2.5 hours.
The Giants for 2 years were like, look, man, like we appreciate that you're here. You work hard, but we really want nothing to do with you, Saquon.
No.
And so he finally.
That money's going to Daniel Jones and Kenny Golladay.
Yeah. He took the hint, and now
we're still paying out. We're still giving money to Kadarius Toney. We're giving Kadarius Toney tons of money. Still giving that to him.
That's good. That's good management there.
I just didn't like. And then Tiki Barber, you're dead to me. What are you talking about? I saw a theory that Tiki is trying to ingratiate himself back in with the Giants because everybody hated him for so long.
Yeah.
But that's so. That to me is so an inauthentic way of doing it because I don't think any Giants fan necessarily. Like I know a lot of Giants fans, and nobody is like. I'm going to burn Saquon's jersey. They're kind of like, this whole situation sucks.
Burn Saquon. Can you imagine someone doing that after the team like has like tormented Saquon for 2 straight years? Oh, man.
People love him, man.
And Saquon got really mad at that post by Tiki Barber, right? And
as he should.
Really? I feel like it was clearly a joke. I don't know.
All right. Denny Carter. Listen to him. NBC. You're blurbing all over the place.
We are blurbing hard. I'm gonna hit the Mariota blurb right now, Kevin.
Wow. Commander's ceiling raised.
Commanders land their get their guy. They get their guy.
Here's their guy. Please in the last they'd be like, we'll see if they still want a quarterback next month. We'll see.
Right. Oh, I love it. Yes.
Let's make them as angry as possible. All right, man. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks for having me.